Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Judges chapter 6. I was able during the break to have one of our young men in the church read me out of his Bible storybook, The Story of Gideon. And I was very much appreciative of that story, how it was worded, and the lack of pictorial nature of the Godhead in that. You know, there is a point in this chapter where we read about Gideon speaking with the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord, of course, identifies himself. If you watch the use of the pronouns, you'll see this, as the Lord himself, Yahweh himself. In the book that I was just reading with one of the young men, there was a, it says that he appeared under an oak tree. And it was like the oak tree was off stage, and all you had was this one little branch and a couple of leaves of the oak tree. So, you know, where the angel of the Lord would have been was sort of out of the view of the picture. You see, it is not hard, it is not difficult to make Bible storybooks for children without violating the second commandment. It just takes a willingness and a resolve to do so. All right, well, let's, stepping down off the soapbox, he moves on to Judges chapter 6, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left them no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle, and their tents, and they came as the grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak tree, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present, and I will set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth, and he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff which was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, "Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt offering with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down." Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. When the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, "Who hath done this thing?" And when they inquired and asked, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing." Then the men of the city said unto Joash, "Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it." And Joash said unto all that stood against him, "Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar." Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, "Let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar." Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. And Gideon said unto God, "If thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said." And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece of a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, "Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, well, in this chapter then, we introduce the character Gideon. Seems like Gideon is not a particularly prideful man. He's not a particularly of any particular station. As a matter of fact, he's in a low family in one of the smaller tribes of the nation of Israel. And yet the Lord is pleased to use him to drive the Midianites out of the land. In the first part of the chapter, we have the children of Israel doing evil. Verses 1 through 6. And he is using wicked men to chastise the children of Israel. He's using the Midianites. And the reason that the Midianites are oppressing the children of Israel is because the Lord has sent them. And the Lord has sent them because they have sinned against the Lord. We're not told exactly what the sin was, at least not specifically, but when we get down to what Gideon is told to do, we do find out what it is at that point, that the sin that they're committing is they are worshiping Baal. They have engaged in false worship. So because they have engaged in false worship, the Lord is chastising them, and He's using the Midianites to do it. Again, the Scriptures simply assume this. You know, there is never any, oh, this is just happening to us. This is happenstance. This is some kind of chance. It never happens like that. You know, we say the weather is nice today as if the weather can make itself. We must understand that the issues of providence are God's issues. That what takes place upon us and around us, to us, to our friends, to our country, to our neighborhoods, and that everything that happens, all these things that take place, are God's providential hand. Now, many have gotten into trouble trying to read providence, but many times in Scripture also, we take dark providences and the trial that we are under, and we assume that God is chastising us for something, and that is a greater impetus to us to confess our sins, to cry out to the Lord for forgiveness, and to search ourselves the more. Right? I've heard people say, oh, well, I know I'm getting ready for a breakthrough because things are really tough right now. I haven't seen that in the Scriptures. What I have seen in the Scriptures, though, is that when things are really tough, it's time to repent. It's time to cry out to the Lord. It's time to petition Him and ask Him why He has sent dark providence, to give you understanding in those things so that we may be clear of them. You see, this is what we call interacting with God. Sometimes we are just so very, and please, I'm not speaking to anyone in particular, but sometimes we are so senseless, we are so insensible to dark providences that we continue on as if they were not taking place. Or we blame them on chance or fortune or any other thing, which is forbidden, by the way, in the larger catechism as part of what is forbidden in the first commandment. When difficult things, when providence turns dark toward you, it doesn't happen by chance. It happens because God is sending a trial for a particular reason, and it behooves us to cry out to Him, to grow thereby. That's how he chastens us and corrects us. And, you know, I get the picture of making bread. He's kneading holiness into us, right? He's just kneading that in. As that lady will roll around that bread, oh, it feels too sticky. She'll throw a little bit more flour on the table. She'll roll that up in the bread, and then she'll knead it in there, and she'll plant a little bit of yeast in there, and roll that bread around, and punch it down, and roll it around, and twist it up. God is working holiness into His people by chastisement and difficult providence. We must not be insensible to that. We must be sensitive to it. All right, so then He sends them a prophet. And the Lord is often sending prophets, preachers, to people who are in dark providence. The problem is, many of those folks don't want to listen. I speak firsthand experience. Sometimes I myself have not listened very well. And then sometimes I've not been listened to. But notice, the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, and the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, and He tells them what they have done. They have sinned against Him. How do you respond to correction? How do you respond when someone tells you your sin? Again, if you bristle, if your pride comes up in defensiveness, and if you have 13 reasons why you just couldn't help it, we know what those answers point to. They point to a lack of love for God's law. They point to a love of our own will and comforts and whatever else it is that drives us away from obedience. We must love obedience. And if we love obedience, if we love the law of God, then with the wise of the Proverbs, we will say that faithful are the wounds of a friend. We will say that when the righteous is smitten, he will be the better for it. right? Okay, so Gideon does not know who he's speaking with at first in verses 11 through 24. Verse 13, he calls him Lord, L-O-R-D in small caps, you know, Adonai. In verse 15, verses 13 and 15, he says, O my Lord, L-O-R-D, Adonai. Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. But then, notice in verse 22, when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, let me show you something about your King James Bibles. If you have your King James open, turn with me, look down at verse 22. Because sometimes the King James does this a little bit differently, and if you're not paying attention, you'll miss what is being communicated here. Notice it says, when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, you see that? That is L-O-R-D in caps, right? So that's Yahweh. Gideon said, Alas, O Lord, see that? That's L-O-R-D, small letters. But notice the next word, God, and the God is in all caps. You see that? Okay, what that says is that in the Hebrew, that is Adonai Yahweh. So Gideon knows who he's been talking to now. After the angel puts his staff upon the sacrifice, the present that Gideon had presented to him, and turns it into a burnt sacrifice, consuming it with the staff of his hand, Gideon realizes that he is in the presence of Yahweh himself, and he calls him the Lord God, or Adonai Yahweh. And see, that's when... And I think there are three or four, where the King James does that. When instead of saying Lord, Lord, it says Lord God, but God is in all caps. And that is the one that stands in that translation for the special covenant name of God, Yahweh. So notice that he does come to an understanding of who he has been talking to, although he didn't understand it at the first. So we see God's great condescension, don't we? God condescends to talk to Gideon, and he sees him as an angel, as a messenger from the Lord, but not as the Lord himself until the time of the offering. And this is one of many instances in the book of Judges that we will see this. All right, so the offering is then received. The Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. And then Gideon named the name of that place Yahweh Shalom, the Lord my peace, the Lord the God of peace. Because he had saw the angel of the Lord face to face, he had seen the angel of the Lord face to face and had not died, and the angel said unto him, Peace be with thee. So he named that place Yahweh Shalom. All right? So that's really interesting stuff, isn't it? Gideon meets with the Lord face to face. The Lord tells him that he's going to deliver Israel. Notice he calls him a mighty man of valor. A mighty man of valor. Now how is it that he is a mighty man of valor? Gideon, a mighty man of valor? Doesn't seem like it. He's hiding out behind the vineyard threshing wheat so the Midianites won't find him. Right? Isn't that what he's doing? Yeah. He's hiding out behind the vineyard. Seems like the Midianites didn't raid the vineyards. And so here we have Gideon hiding out, threshing wheat. The Lord comes to him and says, Mighty man of valor. And he says, Well, if all of God's promises are true, then how come we're so oppressed by the Midianites? And the angel tells him, Christ tells him, Go in this thy might that I have sent thee. Here's your strength. I have sent thee. I've made a promise to you. I've sent you. And let that be your strength. That's what you need. You don't need armaments. You don't need people. We're going to pare the army down here in the next chapter, aren't we? We're going to pare it way down. The strength is not in the, well, it's not by might, not by power, by my strength, saith the Lord. By my spirit, saith the Lord. And so what the Lord tells him here is, your strength is that I have sent you. Your strength is that I have promised to you. It's not in your armaments or in the fact that you're least or great in Israel. All right, so then we move on. The Lord has an errand for him. Here's the errand. You know that grove of your fathers that has the altar of Baal at the head of it? Yeah, take your father's bullock and slay that bullock on a new altar and tear down the first altar and cut down the grove and use the wood of that grove for a burnt offering. That's the errand. Wow. Well, that's quite an errand. Well, he can't do it all by himself, so he solicits help. I guess there's a bit of an admonition there, right? There's an example there. Sometimes we need help. Sometimes we need 10 good men to go with us instead of just doing it all ourselves. In our independent day, that is good counsel. So he does. He does exactly as the Lord commanded. They cut down the grove. Now, they often had idol worshiping going on in groves because it's nice to be in the shade. It's a nice place for a party. Right? Slay the animal to the false god and then pass it around and have a good outdoor barbecue in the shade. That's why it was groves. Well, cut down the trees, use the trees. In other words, take down every remnant that they used to worship Baal. Take it down, every bit of it, and use it to worship the Lord. And tear down that altar. So they do. Don't you just love Gideon's father? So they come to him and they say, bring out your son. We're going to slay him because he has torn down the altar of Baal. And Joash says, well, what kind of a god do you worship that can't plead for himself? If Baal wants to slay Gideon, let him slay him. You all go on home. Can Baal plead for himself? And so he changed Gideon's name to Jerubbaal. Let Baal plead for himself. Right? Very good. So it's a good answer. And then finally, we have the gathering of the tribes and the fleece. So Gideon, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. This is a phrase that occurs the first time here, and we will see it now throughout the rest of the book of Judges. The judges were spiritually empowered, if you will, to do their work. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. What does that mean? I don't believe it's some ecstatic state. I believe that, like we see in the New Testament, that he had his mind so thoroughly saturated with the Word of God, he was getting ready to do what the angel had told him, which was to do what? To go forth in this thy might, that I will be with you. And so the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The promises of God, the realization of those, came upon him. And what did he do? He blew the trumpet and gathered Israel to go up against the Midianites. Now notice, the interesting thing is they all come out. You see that? Sometimes all it takes is one or two people to stand and to say, no, 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 no. We have to stop doing that and start doing this. Sometimes when a multitude is getting ready to go astray, just one person standing there saying, no, we need to stay here. Sometimes one person crying out for what is right will work as it works throughout the multitude to bring everybody back to where they belong. And then the fleece. When we see things like this, I just see that as a sign of God's great condescension. Remember what he did for Abraham? Abraham, I am thy shield, exceeding great reward. Are you really? Are you really? I don't have an heir. All right, so then God condescends to Abraham. And since he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, right? And we see the same thing here. Gideon, although he has already seen what the Lord will do, he still has this consternation. He still has these fightings within, if you will. And so the Lord condescends to him twice. You remember Abraham? Once again in Genesis 18? Let not my Lord be angry, I will ask but this once, if there be 50 righteous in the city. Okay, well, how about 40? 30? 10? all the way down to 10. And so the Lord is a God who delights in condescending to His people to increase their faith. Are you struggling with something? Is it difficult for you? Tell the Lord. You're not going to find anything but a ready ear with Him. He will condescend to support your weak faith. Won't He? All right, let's stand and continue praising God then.